Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, May 15th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I have with me my regular Monday co-host, Mr. Paul Edward Stevenson. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, Richard. And good to be with you.
Yes, always good to be here. And of course, the start of the week always has a lot more depressing news circulating than at the end of the week. So, you know, you kind of have to prepare for that. But yeah, I noticed the Washington Post, no less, deleted a bizarre Zelensky interview where Zelensky accused the paper of aiding Russia. So we have that out there. Haiti's gang violence has been escalating. Even some of the areas previously deemed safe, such as Kenskoff and Petionville. I'm not familiar with the areas, but... You know, no surprise, Haiti having escalated gang violence, Paul.
Yeah, you can imagine my surprise.
So, yeah, we're shocked by that this morning. Toronto had an anti-capitalist, as they were calling it, pay when you can cafe. And this thing shut down after just 1 year. Liberals and their... hair-brained ideas. It's no surprise. I'm sure the homeless were taking advantage of that, and criminals of all sorts.
Yeah, well, talking about criminals, we've got Zelensky visiting the UK today. He's been on a trip around Europe begging again, and now we're fortunate enough to have Vladimir with us after he's finished with the Pope, no less, in Italy. Good God. When will this end, Richard? When's it going to end? I can't handle it anymore. I think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, I know that's just going to go as long as possible. That war is just going to keep getting dragged out, Paul.
I know, but I mean, it's like, at least by now, when the COVID thing happened, you had people, even on like some of the lesser mainstream media channels, pushing back against it. Nobody's pushing back against this thing. I mean, we should be out protesting and let at least even the government, they just do whatever they want to do. That's the irony. This whole thing about democracy is just a pile of nonsense. You know, there's no representation for you, for us. These guys do whatever they want, which is usually the opposite of what we do. But I think it's about time that a crowd of people made their feelings known, about Zelensky. Rather than just comments and YouTube videos, which at least is encouraging. I saw on one of the channels in GB News, which is Farage, is involved with that. He's a presenter. And it had Rishi Sunak, you know, hugging and embracing cringe vomit territory, Zelensky, as he arrived. And, of course, they're talking about our, in quotes, shared values of democracy and freedom. I mean, the irony, I mean, these are two guys who are basically the products of coups. You know, it's essentially a coup that brought Rishi Sunak to power over here. And it's definitely a coup that is responsible for, an actual coup that's responsible for Zelensky's position. And they talk about freedom and democracy. And by the way, I need to let you know this, Richard, and our listeners. We had the Eurovision Song Contest over the weekend. And in case you didn't know, because I was under the impression, falsely, it would seem that the Eurovision Song Contest was to celebrate songwriting, specifically international amateur songwriting. But alas, I was wrong. I was thinking it's all in the name, you know what I mean? The Eurovision Song Contest. But no, according to our British culture minister, it's actually to celebrate, guess what? Ukraine. That's what this woman has said. Eurovision Song Contest is to celebrate Ukraine. So just in case you thought it was to celebrate international songwriting, you would be wrong. Who knew?
I assumed it would have been to celebrate people of color and LGBTQ.
I mean, it not only is it cringe, but it's bizarre. Imagine the British Culture Secretary saying that the Eurovision Song Contest is to celebrate Ukraine. I mean, when's this going to stop? This is what I mean. You know, by now we had at this point pushback on COVID, but no, at least in that GB News clip that I saw, obviously mainstream media everywhere's covering it, Zelensky and Sunak together. When you look at the comments, from what I could tell, they were all 100% absolutely negative about Zelensky, and they're wise to it. But there hasn't been any kind of mass protests, and we are now sending long-range drones, apparently. We've promised them long-range drones in addition to the new long-range storm shadow long-range missiles. Apparently, they've already been used. They were used, I think, yesterday or today. They hit a city in Lugansk. So, I mean, this is an escalation. And, you know, we already sent them weapons to Ukraine with depleted uranium on them, which is a horrendous stuff. It causes all sorts of birth defects and cancers and leukemias, and has done where they've been used before. And it destroys the soil and the land and everything. And Putin has promised retaliation for even that. And now we're sending these long-range weapons, which can strike Moscow. Bearing in mind, you know, this is the reason that this war started in the first place, because he didn't want a NATO buildup where missiles could target Moscow in 10 minutes. This is what he warned against. And so we know this is an escalation. The only thing you can conclude is that they're trying to start World War III.
Well, that's the one thing that I would disagree on as far as how I would define a World War III. But we've been desensitized ever since the end of World War II to the idea of war. We have these never-ending, constant states of war overseas, you know, supposedly in the name of quote-unquote democracy, you know. And, I mean, well, what we've had in Iraq and Afghanistan, for example, dragging on and on, of course, 9/11, trying to be justification for the continuation so much of this perpetual warfare. I don't see, though, no matter what happens, okay, with superpowers, so quote-unquote superpowers of US/NATO with Russia and or China, Iran, whomever, I don't really see a World War III being possible. I think at the top, those with the most money who are mainly siding with whichever of those factions, at the end of the day, side with each other among the masses enough where they wouldn't let things get too out of control as they did in World Wars One and Two, because after World War Two, they consolidated Jewish power. You know, they consolidated international Jewry. I think World War Three is the only one left. There will never be a World War Four, and not because of nuclear annihilation of all technology from the third one, but because World War III is about the elites against the masses, Paul.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, there's only so much provocation and warnings that the Russians can give before they at least need to keep face. And NATO keep pushing this. In fact, Germany are now promised another $3 billion to the Ukraine in military aid. So they are escalating this, these long-range weapons. They will be probably used to target the Crimean Peninsula, the bridge there. And at some point, Russia's going to have to respond to this. They've already promised they'll respond, and we'll be number one on the list by sending these long-range weapons and depleted uranium and everything else. And at which point, you know how the press is going to spin it in the same way that it was a totally, in quotes, unprovoked attack by Russia to invade Ukraine. And if Russia does anything against us, or even if it's a cyber attack or some economic attack, that'll be spun as to say that Russia has attacked the UK, and they will say, we were only helping Ukraine defend themselves, and Russia, it's Russian propaganda that these weapons landed in Russia, or they attacked the Crimea, or whatever. Because if these people decide they want a World War III, they'll probably get it. And it'll start off in Europe as usual. And, you know, it's like, it's the problem, what I mean is, it seems to be, rather than any adults in the room, they seem to be hell-bent on escalating it. Now, it depends how Putin and Putin's allies respond to this. They obviously don't want that, But how much provocation can they take? It took 8 years before they responded to the Ukraine situation. At some point, they're going to have to respond. That's my concern. It's like it sends a message that they're. I mean, these weapons have a range of between 250 and 500 kilometers, and they're very, very dangerous missiles as well. So, you know, these are not really the kind of missile you send for defense purposes. And it now means that there's no territory in Ukraine where the Russians are safe from these missiles, because before the HIMARS missiles, I think, were only about 100 kilometers max. So the Russians could withdraw and, you know, go through their operations out of the range of Ukrainian missiles. They can't do that anymore. So I don't see how this is not going to escalate in some way, you know?
No. Okay. I think that there's a fusion I've had as you were speaking there in the way I could see it. I mean, in some ways, these great wars occur because of economic necessity to those with the most wealth and their point of view. Okay, World War One, same with World War Two, and of course, territories and new drawing of lines occur along the ways. But I mean, these were planned based on economic factors for those who would benefit the most from the changes. And so, I mean, you know, what happened with Germany, Italy, Japan was really just a side note, an appendix to the real agenda that needed to occur. However, these people got it done. And this time around, yeah, it may escalate more. You could be right. It could become more involved on an international level, both Russia and the provocations with China. But at the end of the day, it will be for economic means again, and to further consolidate this technocracy against the people. So again, it would be a third world war that is against the masses, trying to consolidate power, just like things like COVID did, you know, just like precedents like the Patriot Act over here with taking our rights away indefinitely, or the pandemic treaty, the Green Agenda are trying to do.
Yeah, sure, of course. But, you know, when you start, you know, the problem is it's still a very different situation when you have potentially an actual hot war. I mean, that's a whole different ballgame, you know. And
I mean, when I mentioned the Axis powers during World War II and them just being players in what is necessary for economic reasons, they have only so much control over that level, just like Putin today. When we think of Putin, some out here are criticizing Putin. He's dragging on this war because it's going to benefit the so-called Eurasian shift, economically speaking, and with trade and international relations, and that we see Xi Jinping as a peacemaker, all this sort of thing. You know, Putin encouraging the yuan as the international currency and the One Belt, One Road, all of this Eurasian shift in economic trade. It's going to happen, though, either way, that shift. Okay, this war is perhaps helping things to get organized during the Eurasian shift, but us giving up our manufacturing and our perception in the world view, you know, the U.S. and England, for that matter, is ever increasingly sour as time goes on. So,
yeah, I mean, well, the economic situation here is untenable, which, you know, is another motivation. Like I've said before, you know, it rather than these people lose hegemony, you know, like I've said before, I've often, you know, I've been concerned that rather than losing hegemony, they will bring the whole tent down with a world war if they need to, because you're dealing with Jews who are basically very unreasonable, crazy people, and, you know, they're not very restrained in any way. And if they think that that's the last desperate attempt, you know, to come out of this smelling of roses and consolidate everything, that's what they'll do. It's very, very concerning because, you know, as I say, with these long-range weapons getting in there, and I don't know, it'll start off, if it does get out of hand, it'll start off in Europe. And, I mean, it really is the last thing we need. But it just seems that it's escalating in that direction for whatever reason, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, as to how you analyze who's going to benefit and what the tactics are and everything else. If that all kicks off, that'll be the least of your concerns. It'll be, you know what I mean? You know?
True. And I had some more article headlines here, but the one on the point of superpowers, I don't know, China could be cooling down a little, that whole agenda for the U.S. because, well, according to a source now from antiwar.com, U.S.-China tensions thawing as Washington fears allies will view policies as too aggressive. And the Washington Post was reporting on a lot of that. And so, yeah, they see how other countries in the world, you know, are not going to like the hardline stance the U.S. has toward China. They want economic prosperity and trade for everyone's benefit, these different nations. And also the U.S. is already seeing the writing on the wall. And, yeah, again, the Eurasian shift has already begun and is inevitable. It's just a matter of you know, who's going to be holding what cards at the end of the day, I think. And these wars can, and tensions, conflicts can help with that. You remember that, on a side note, there was that basketball player who was locked up in Russia. I think she had like some cannabis vape cartridges. And then they traded her for some arms trafficker, the merchant of death, Victor Bout, in December. They traded her for, after 10 months in a Russian prison, though. Now she's back on the women's NBA, and now she's standing for the national anthem, and she's all patriotic. And so, you know, I mean, say what you will about, you know, the state of the U.S.'s freedom and the positive things about Putin, but the prisons there gave her a wake-up call to be sure about what she had over here.
Oh, yeah. Of course they would.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to be in a prison in Russia. Definitely think of better things to be doing with my weekends.
Right. This one here, article, I don't have which school it is, but this one school had all hell breaking loose after they were trying to force LGBT indoctrination onto one of the four-year-old students there. And just, you can see how parents are at their breaking point with all of this.
Yeah.
I have some economic news here, but that's kind of dry, you know. I mean, when are people going to finally lose faith in the U.S. ability to service its debt, its colossal debt? Well, I mean, they haven't been servicing that debt for a long time. We talk about this debt ceiling over here and whether or not to raise the debt ceiling, but on an international level, I'm sure countries have been disgusted for a long time with the U.S. what we don't owe to the Federal Reserve and owe to other countries, that is, Paul.
Yeah, well, exactly, because they have to keep raising the debt ceiling, because otherwise it's a default situation. It essentially is a default situation anyway. That's why they keep, you know, raising the debt ceiling, you know. But you know, if they don't, and there's a default, an official default, then, you know, it's a complete catastrophe. But it's not going to be a pretty decade, whatever way you look at it, because it's like everything is just set up for a very, very, you know, horrendous economic collapse and or the potential of a world war and or an escalation of that war in Ukraine. And, you know, these type of things always lead to that. You know, it's always the same. You get the currency wars, trade wars, and, you know, and then the world wars. And unfortunately, these things have been a pattern since Jews came into the West and have had the power they've had.
Hear, hear. Well said. We'll be back, folks. Stick around.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania 15091. That's the Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to the Freedom Times today.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. And as far as U.S. consumer credit card debt, the card data reveals this is the first major drop in household spending in the 2 years, since the lockdowns, basically. Upper income wages are tumbling. Upper middle class incomes, unemployment benefits are soaring, they're saying. More on the woke agenda, though, like I had mentioned, that cafe over in Toronto, over on the Pacific coast, over on the Atlantic coast, New York City converts hotels to shelters to accommodate expected influx of illegal immigrants. And we've heard about that in the past. Those are never going to be the same again, any of the hotels they convert. And I'm sure a lot of them will get torn up. It's really laughable when you think of it. A judge is ordering FDA to speed up the release of the COVID-19 vaccine trial data from 23.5 years to just 2 years. That was a ridiculous. I know they wanted 75 years in the one case, brought down to 55 years or something like that. It's just laughable how much they just blatantly try to hide the truth about the damage of these shots, the nefarious purposes. I don't think we'll go over it today, but there's a good coverage of the retrospective of lies the media had surrounding COVID as well that I came across, Paul. I don't know if we're ever going to see any justice for the shots.
No, it seems not. It doesn't seem like it's not like you see, the usual suspects who voted for these things and voted for lockdowns. It's not like you've seen them come out and put their hands up and saying, okay, we got it wrong. You know, if you ever talk to any of these people, they'll still say the vaccines were a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. Big Pharma has so much, especially, that's one thing you don't have over there. I mean, over here, Big Pharma's advertising dollars into the corporate media. But, I mean, people are shifting, of course, more to social media, internet, and so they have to shift their advertising there to control them. Logic would dictate, as our generation shifts where people go to for their sources. I mean, of course, there's a lot of advertising for the Netflix, you know, all the streaming services, and so I'm sure that's where Big Pharma has a lot of their influence placed right now. Pakistan, I don't know if you've followed this more than I, some of the skirmishes around there. U.S.-backed coup in Pakistan backfires, we're told. Imran Khan is freed by the Supreme Court. Have you followed any of this, Paul?
Well, I've been, you know, to the extent that I know, it's yet another U.S.-driven coup. I haven't followed much of it today.
Okay. Yeah, they're saying elite plans for digital ID, central bank digital currencies, and a green post-war economy proliferate in Ukraine as conflict rages, manifesting in Ukraine's corporate takeover, and this fourth industrial revolution is extending, they're saying, to these other regions, such as the Pakistan conflict and the agendas over there. Zimbabwe's in the news, despite the IMF rebuking them. Okay, Zimbabwe is still going ahead with this gold-backed digital currency thing. 14 million they sold. Zimbabwe sold 14 million gold-backed digital tokens in their first issue, gold-backed digital currency. But yeah, IMF is
good for them.
Yeah. It's a. I mean, in the past we laugh at their $100,000 note, but no.
That's what we need to get to, is something like that, you know.
Yeah, just to make it clear what needs to be done. Let's see, is someone out there saying the danger is within, the government's turning America into a constitution-free zone. New York City may be charging fines that vary with offenders' income. And we've seen a lot of this social justice penalizing,
and the biggest problem, of course, and I spoke to Mark Collett on Friday, it's the demographic shifts, really. I think the net migration into this country, they'll release the official figures later this month, but they're predicting it could be as much as a million. And it's completely deliberate. I mean, despite the so-called conservatives, you know, promising to get immigration for 10 or 12 years now down to the tens of thousands, which is even too much. Legal immigration, that is, as much as maybe a million. These people can, student, you know, visas have expanded. The amount of people they can bring in, dependents, families with them. Most of these people end up staying. That's legal. And then you've got the illegal stuff coming across the borders. I think the reality is, unless something supernatural happens, this country has been changed forever, you know? It's as simple as that.
All our countries, all of our European countries.
It's terrible, really.
We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't talk too much about it. Ain't no real big secret, all the same. Somehow we get around it.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. And not as far as charging fines varying with offenders' income, I'm not sure completely how I feel about that one, New York doing that. I mean, I was just reading the article there, not really connecting it to the loss of freedoms article.
Sorry, what was that? Mentioned.
Well, just the idea of people being charged fines varying with their income, with the offender's income. I mean, people will say, okay, well, this is part of the right-left paradigm we have here, just like you have there when you talk about your political parties, Paul. People will assume, of course, that, you know, if it's supporting low income, it's an anti-white supporting thing, and that if you're not anti-white, you should be supporting upper middle class. There are poor white people too, though, and you know, yeah,
yeah, most of them are. Yeah. You know, they make out that these minorities are the struggling ones. Well, probably the black community, but you know, that's typical of black communities wherever you go. You know, the Indians and people like that over here, and, you know, a lot of the Muslims, they do very well over here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with all the affirmative action.
It's the white working class who are suffering.
Equity hiring. Exactly. And just a couple other article news bits. The WEF, they want equitable democratization of stock markets. So, you know, not enough people of color owning stocks. They're okay with all the Jews in the stock market. You know, they don't mind it being inequitable in that way. They're never going to tell you that. But too many goy who are not people of color owning, you know, owning stocks, and it makes the Jews look bad. You know, whatever stock ownership is left for shares that the Jews don't have, they want that to go to people of color at the very least. Come on,
yeah,
now.
At the least, yeah.
Unbelievable. And then this executive order from Biden, we're going to wind up bioengineering everything, and GMO this, that, and the chip, of course, so your brain justified as well. I mean, it's pretty all-inclusive and spooky, you know, but they make it sound warm and fuzzy on the surface. New technology to fight climate change, increase the food supply, cure diseases, and strengthening national security by increasing domestic manufacturing. More warm and fuzzy language like those 17 points of the UN has for sustainable development. Wilhelm Felderhoff was going over those with us on Thursday. And yeah, this is more of that executive order on advancing biotechnology. It was entitled in March, this executive order, Bold Goals for U.S. Biotechnology and Biomanufacturing. And, I wanted to hear your thought on this one last headline. Archbishop Vigano, he's saying Soros and Schwab and Gates want to build the kingdom of the Antichrist. Any comment on that, Paul?
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of, you know, being anti-Christian, it is a very satanic, lawless, anti-Christian, actually anti-humanity, but it's very anti-Western. And he's probably talking about what he sees as an eschatological phenomenon. But as you know, I don't subscribe to this notion that we're in the end times, and because, you know, people are, you know, you'll see that everywhere. People down through history, when there's been chaos and tumultuous times, have attributed it to the end times. And, you know, at one point, you know, Hitler was the Antichrist, and Napoleon, and Barack Obama, and it goes on. But yeah, it's they're very, very dark times. And, you know, when you have like someone like Justin Welby, for example, he's the head of the Church of England. You know, he's condemning the new immigration bill, which isn't trying to get control of illegal immigration. He said it's immoral. He started like quoting scriptures completely out of context and twisting the scriptures. And, you know, this is a guy who suddenly wants to appeal to the scriptures when he has no adherence to them for very important things like no women preachers and gay marriage. I think they support abortion too, don't they? But so, you know, suddenly he's quoting the scriptures to come out with, scriptures of things that the Lord said, apparently, that support his argument, which don't. And, of course, they always do that, and he'll be relying on the ignorance of his congregation, because the Church of England, they don't really look at the scriptures too much. But, yeah, I think he's a Jew himself. So, I mean, that the Church of England and the Catholic Church, you know, hosting Zelensky, Christianity, in terms of its institutional anatomy in the West, has been largely destroyed. So now you have, as I say, Justin Welby and, you know, woman preachers running around, you know, gay marriage. He actually came out recently and said, it's okay to be single. Jesus was single. You see, we're all like Jesus, you see. So if you're a woman, particularly, you know, there's nothing unique about Jesus, you know, just exactly the same as all the white women in the congregation. It's all right, white women, to, you know, to be single, don't have children. I mean, this guy, he behaves like a Jew. He's completely lawless. He's anti-God. He's anti-Christian. Gay marriage, telling women to be single, particularly if they're white, which most of the Anglicans are. They're little sort of lukewarm, moderately liberal, so-called liberal Christians, which is another way of saying that they're not Christians at all. And, you know, telling them it's okay to be single, because he doesn't want white women having children. That's why he loves immigration. This guy's way Jewish, as far as I can tell, you know?
Wow. That's pretty out there. But, you know, it reminds me on a tangent. I have heard of some alleged lost books that claim that Jesus did actually take a wife. Others claim he had children.
Those are the Gnostic Gospels. I mean, they came about the Nag Hammadi text. They came about 300 years after the original Gospels. And the reason we know that they came after is because we can date them. And we know that they, you know, that the original texts were long before that, because they were all quoted by the early church fathers. You can't quote something that didn't exist. So, but this is another attempt to, you know, muddy the waters. You know, Jesus went to Jesus went to India with his sandals. You know, it's a long old trek in a pair of cheap sandals.
Go ahead. You wanted to finish?
You know, so you get all this stuff, but, you know, to host Vladimir Zelensky, he's a complete crook. It's a sad day for the church, but Vatican II completely changed the church. It's been totally infiltrated by Judaism. So, alas, and even when you go to the evangelical churches, I had to part ways back in 2020 with a clown up there who's a pastor, you know, who's on antidepressants, and it's bad enough being on antidepressants, but, you know, for a pastor of the church, but doing YouTube videos telling everybody about it, you know, doubling down, I suppose, so he can look in the mirror and say, "Hey, Lord, I was honest about it. You know, I was honest about telling everybody there's no power in my life, and I'm now telling everybody else that don't come here. Go and see a shrink and take antidepressants. There's no power or joy here."
That's pretty weird. Pretty weird for him to choose to disclose with his followers. I mean, what else is he going to do? You know, preach about how he's a Marxist to his followers?
Well, I mean, listen, you know, I challenged him about this, and both taking the pills and, you know, and needing them, and what sort of message to send out. But, you know, he just doubled down because I think his conscience was bothering him. And if your conscience is bothering you, you can lie to yourself and say, "I'm being transparent." So then you double down and you do a YouTube video about it, and about a month later, he was doing an actual talk about mental health in the church. And mental health is a fairly recent phenomenon. And again, it came out of Jewish ideas. Freud was the start of this, Carl Jung, Melanie Klein, another depressing Jew who killed herself. You know, all this sort of stuff came from Jewish ideas, this whole mental health. And it's actually a competitor to Christianity because it redefines the problem as a mental problem rather than a spiritual problem. You know, and then they have this in the church. This is not the Anglican Church, not the Catholic Church, not Vatican II Catholicism. This is like an evangelical church. I mean, I just thought, where do you go? You know, there's nowhere to go. You'd be better staying at home, which is what I've done.
And, of course, more people would have a better situation without the influence of Jewish indoctrination, this leftism as a mental disease, mental disease in the Jewish far left ideologies. The LGBT community and trans community are very mentally unhealthy to varying degrees.
Of course.
Statistics are overwhelming on that. Callers.
I was going to say, I mean, homosexuals are not like kind of normal in every other way, and then their sexual behavior is deviant. If you actually know any homosexuals, the ones I've met, they're always a bit twisted and weird, generally. Not Me just too. In their sexual behavior, but who they are. They're quite scary, kind of weird kind of people, a lot of them, you know?
Yeah, well, most who I've encountered, I mean, I've maybe one exception, a gentleman I knew through some friends growing up, but I mean, for the most part, that is the average. I see we have like four callers in the queue. Let's try to get to the phones here. Daryl in Canada, who's been patiently on hold. Daryl.
Yes, enjoying your show, and enjoyed the Paul on Saturday, listening to Mark Collett there. He's a superstar activist. Nice to get him on the show. I was listening to David Duke in the morning. Immigration is, people don't realize about the immigration, the legal immigration, like Paul and Mark were talking about on Saturday there, that there's a lot of, like in the U.S. mostly, not so much here, they enforce it more in Canada, but there's so many visa stayovers and those birthing activists that come over from China mostly and give birth. And so, although considering what's going on the border in Mexico now, I mean, those, I wouldn't say they pale, but they were a large part of it, but now it's mostly on the south. The mass migration, of course, we all hear this about, what, you know, the majority white countries getting, you know, hit with that. Canada, the U.S., Australia, New Zealand, most of Europe, except for Hungary and a few places. You know, I mean, you don't hear that from China, Vietnam. Japan, as a matter of fact, is simply just, we're doing what most people would really like to do. Just bite the bullet. Just shrink your economy, shrink your population if you have to, but keep your population, you know, homogenic type of thing. So they will not budge on it, which you got to give them credit. And, you know, another country you got to give credit is Russia, too. They just have a trickle of immigration, if you don't count the Ukrainians that are fleeing and then they're repatriating or whatever you want to call it. And in a few other countries like Argentina and in the south there and Uruguay and Chile, mostly white countries, they're not doing it, too. So, but it's just, well, with the more influence of the two percenters, that's where you get what you have right now. I'd like to say one thing before I get to Russia quickly is that I just saw that in the U.S., it's the credit card debt is up 20% or something like that year over year to $1 trillion. It's probably the same in Europe and in Britain, too, because people are just living off of that. So it's a cavalcade of debt coming on. There's already repos that are happening like crazy, and housing is going in that direction, and of course credit card debt is going. If I had a child that was growing up like around 18, I would tell him, hey, be a repo dealer, man, or be work for a collection agency. You'll make a mint in the next few years if we don't get nuked by then, I would say. I would say this too, Paul. I know you got the callers, I'll make this quick. Yeah, I think the more that the war in Ukraine goes one way or the other, although, I mean, Russia's fighting with one hand tied behind their back, so they'll use whatever they can. So it's not going to happen there unless a miracle happens. But the more Ukraine loses territory and what have you, and the more the West freak out, and their reaction to that freak out to force Russia to do whatever they have to do, that's where I think there's a, you know, about a 1 in 3 chance that by the time the elections start, in about 18 months, there could be a nuclear exchange. So I think it's more of the West's reaction to things that are going to force Russia. Russia might be the first one to use, but it would be the West that forces them. What do you think of that, Paul?
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's hard to know what, you know, exactly what's going to be the ultimate trigger, because I think Russia have been showing incredible restraint, and I don't think for a minute they want this to get, you know, escalate. But the longer it goes on, and these long-range weapons are a problem, because Russia, the people in Russia will demand some sort of response, and you have to feel for Putin a little bit, because he's tried to be measured and, you know, and shown restraint, but at some point the Russian people, who know that they're hated and know it's an existential threat, will demand a response. And then all bets are off, you know. We know that we're dealing with a mad dog in who basically runs the West. The same people that started World War One and World War Two. If they feel they're losing, that's what worries me. Because they don't like to lose. They feel as if, well, you're talking about God's chosen people. God's chosen people don't lose, don't you know?
Yeah, one last thing I'll say real quick is that those weapons, those depleted uranium weapons that were sent from the UK to Russia, Russia bombed a Western munitions plant in Western Ukraine near the border of Poland or
over the weekend.
And there's all kinds of a high radiation up there. So be careful what you wish for there, West. You're hurting your own country, that, well, not your own country, but Ukraine that you're trying to help. Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And but obviously they don't care about that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be, you know, essentially promoting what is essentially a genocide against the particularly the young men of Ukraine. You know, talk about, you know, you'll know them by their fruits. I mean, Ukraine's getting wrecked. How can you describe that as caring about Ukraine? But alas, people are that propagandized that they think, well, you need to keep sending the weapons.
Thank you, Daryl.
Yeah.
Andrea in New York. Andrea.
Hello?
Hello. Yes.
Hi. Okay. I was just wondering if I could read a few sentences from the Perestroika deception.
Sure.
Okay. The ambition to... This is from Antonio Gramsci. This sentence, the ambition to control the Western mind is a longstanding objective of Soviet policy. Mastery of human consciousness should be a paramount political objective. And then this is from Perestroika deception, I think. The primary objective of Perestroika was to restructure the Western mind using both deceptive language and the ideas of Gramsci so that it became more receptive to and more inclined to collaborate with the implementation of Soviet global strategic objectives. Perestroika restructuring not of the Soviet system, but the outlook, thinking, and mentality of the West. So that's what's going on now. It was all a deception, and it was all for control, mastery over, control of the Western mind, mentality. And so thinking that Putin is actually a good man and fighting for Western civilization, fighting with globalists, is nothing but deception.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And yes, no, I mean, as you know, I have others who express similar viewpoints.
I mean, Putin is working with Xi, and Xi is a brutal dictator. And Putin himself is a communist. Putin is a communist.
And, Putin, is not a communist. Putin is not
Putin
a communist.
Putin is a communist. Putin is a communist. And he's not only a communist.
Maybe he is secretly, but the way he runs his country, it's not a communist country anymore. Okay,
if there's one thing that I could find curious is that Edward Snowden still finds a better situation there than in the West.
Edward Snowden is KGB.
That's not a communist country. Their economic system Their economic system
is Putin doing over in
Andrea,
Ukraine?
Andrea,
what is he doing?
Andrea, don't shout. Andrea, please don't shout. Different viewpoints, though. Paul should be aware.
Okay.
I mean, Wilhelm Felderhoff.
What is he doing
is
in Ukraine?
Very
what has he accomplished?
Oh, please don't talk.
What does he intend to accomplish?
Andrea.
Well, his goals in Ukraine is to eliminate any threat to the Russian Federation, which he sees a buildup of NATO troops both on the border and in Ukraine. Since 2014 as a threat, so he wants to demilitarize it, and as he describes it, he also wants to denazify it because of groups
denazify
like
it.
Andrea, we can talk about this more. Andrea, also call in on a Thursday because we have different points of view from my different co-hosts. I appreciate your call. Dan in Washington. Dan. Dan, do we have you? Dan in Washington.
I can hear you. Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
I heard it switch over. Is the music going?
No.
I don't agree with the last caller. You know, the only part I would agree with is if, you know, the Soviets did such a good job infiltrating, like, these churches Paul's talking about, all of our institutions to be anti-white, so then pretty soon our only option is going to be to basically get support from Russia because he's doing a good job. I mean, you're talking about Christianity. Well, pretty soon the only Christian church around that's really Christian is going to be the Russian Orthodox Church.
And that's another thing which is not communist. It's not just the reinstating the Orthodox Church, but they've given huge incentives to the church and to marriage and the family, which are not symptomatic and are not conducive with a communist country like it was under the Bolsheviks.
No, exactly, and
we've got
right.
The Bolsheviks here.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that happened to America with all this anti-communist hysteria. I think what happened is Charles Lindbergh and these people, Henry Ford, were warning people about Jewish infiltration, the Jewish power.
Exactly.
In the 50s, you had this, all that propaganda that was supposedly, I forgot the guy's name from Wisconsin, but he was like trying to find secret communists. But his lawyer was actually
McCarthy.
McCarthy. I think that was all intended to get people to worry about this weird communist thing that can't be defined or seen, and not talk about Jews, basically, Anyway.
Yeah. Well,
Go ahead.
Well, Ford essentially stated that communism itself was Jewish.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, right. Communism is political Jewry. Yes, I've heard many. Well, thank you, Dan. A couple other callers. Go ahead, Dan.
My point
please.
Real quick was if you go to RT, this Amir Khan from Pakistan is actually a really good guy, and the Merchant of Death is actually a really nice guy, and he talks about his experience in American prisons and stuff. And that's all on RT. If you go to shows and go to interviews, they interviewed both these guys. So it's pretty, I go there for to hear their side of the story.
Right,
anyway, thanks for taking the call. Bye.
Thank you. James in Vancouver. James.
Hey, Amerikansky, Shlusa Yuvaza. So the Pope has embraced Zelensky. I saw the picture. So it looks like what my Hitler youth buddy says. It's the Vatican versus the Russian Orthodox Church. Your comments?
The thing is, I don't really think it is the Vatican anymore. You know, I just think it's all just part of this.
Come on now.
No, I don't. No, I think if it was the real Catholic Church, I think they would oppose it. But I think it's just, you know, they're just part of the same Western globalist Jewish run den of iniquity that we all have to suffer and to live in.
Well, you're from the North Ireland, right?
Yeah, originally. Yeah.
All right. Well, I shouldn't be asking the question, but are you a Catholic lad? I am.
No, I was brought up as a Catholic, and you know, I still have a certain amount of respect for the Catholic Church in certain ways, but just doctrinally, there's too much I disagree with, you know, to call myself a Catholic. But I mean, I don't even know if I'd call myself a Protestant either, because I mean, I'm so disillusioned with like evangelical churches and Christian Zionism and some of the nonsense in there and stuff. So I don't know what, you know, it's just like. They used to be saying, you know, we used to say about Northern Ireland, we used to say there's too many Protestants and too many Catholics and not enough Christians.
You guys got other callers. I'll let you go. I know.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Joe in Florida. Joe.
Hey, Richard, Paul. Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks a lot. Oh, I see we had a call from Zio Andrea again. Gee whiz, what a surprise. Let me ask you this. Yeah, what are the two words that have guaranteed that Russia has remained not communist for the last 30 years? The two words, Vladimir Putin, okay? He's not a communist. He's the only reason that Russia has not reverted to communism for 30 years. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, well, thanks for your call. And it's an ongoing debate. Paul. And again, I have a...
No, anyway, I don't mind Andrea. I think she's quite sexy.
Thanks as always. Hey, great show, my brother. Have a good week.
Thank you, man.
Bye. Please support the station, folks, to keep all this free speech alive at republicbroadcasting.org. Click on donate, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.